Yom Kippur Kol Nidrei is the beginning of our day of fasting, our day of prayer. It is indeed a solemn day, it's a day of reality, and yet we do also need to remind ourselves it's a day when we wear white for a reason, because our sins have been washed. Although they were as crimson, they are now as white. And that is why we are dressed in white this evening and tomorrow. The reality of all of this is that we are wearing on our bodies this evening and tomorrow the reality of what will have come, what is the reality for us in Mashiach as well. As far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove our sin from us. And one of the key foundations that we have in Jewish thinking, which on a day like Yom Kippur, and for us I think especially as Messianic Jews, is so critical, and that we get our heads around this and understand the real depth of the reality of this, the key Jewish principle is living in the as if. You might think that's a flight of fancy, you might just think, well, here we go, we can live in the as if, or as if this were true, as if that were true, who knows, we can pretend. Are we getting into the realms of fantasy and pretending? Are we deceiving ourselves? That is not Jewish thinking. Jewish thinking is living in the as if something is true, knowing the reality of what is true, and yet understanding that maybe we are not quite yet in that reality. Let me give you an example of this, an easy one, before we look at a few more in depth in a moment. Not that long ago, we were sitting around the Passover table, and you'll know, of course, we have our four cups during the Seder, and yet we know that Yeshua interrupted the Seder after the third cup and did not complete it with the fourth. Living in exactly the Jewish concept of the as if. Right now, we live between cup 3 and 4. We are living, having begun the cup of salvation, but we've not yet drunk the fulfillment cup of all things. We aren't there yet. We're living in the gap. It's very Jewish to live in the gap. Very Jewish to walk around and say to each other, mind the gap. It is real. It is there. But it's a reality. Because there's one thing that we know in Jewish thinking. Jewish thinking, scriptural thinking, never flees from the reality of the now. It faces the reality of what it is. It doesn't get into a kind of pretense thing. You know, someone walking along with their leg in plaster and will come into the congregation and say, it's fine, my leg is fine. I don't have a broken leg, you know, it's okay. We can get into a kind of strange place where we kind of begin to twist the reality. Jewish thinking faces the reality and yet claims the promises of God as if the future was coming my way right now. It's what it is. The view is always eternal, the view is always long term, the promises and inheritances, etc. It's why for 2,000 years our people have always said, next year in Jerusalem, even when it seemed impossible that next year in Jerusalem would even be a thing, and yet now, it is a thing. Not denying the reality that we were in a shtetl, that we were being persecuted here, there and everywhere. The Jewish heart beats for a certain future, the as if, living as if it were true, as if now it's possible, even if right now it isn't. It's very Jewish thinking. Because we are a people of the future as well as the present and the past. As of all peoples on this planet, the Jewish people are connected into all three tenses. Future, present and past. We've got a foot in each one. That gives us 3 feet. Never mind. We have a foot in each one. Future, present and past. We'll work it out. But it's interesting when we see it this way, because it actually throws light on something which Yeshua said. I want to read this to you. This is where it begins to get really interesting. This comes from the Bessarab Matachal, chapter 9. Connects with Yom Kippur. You'll see what the connection is in a moment. He said this. The Talmudim of Yochanan came to him saying, why do we and the Prushim fast often, but your disciples, Talmudim, do not fast? And Yeshua said to them, Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. For no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. The patch pulls away from the garment. The tear is made worse. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled. The wineskins are ruined. They're put into new wine, into new wineskins, and both are preserved. There's a reason why he told that parable, as it were, on the end of that. You'll see in a moment. It's an interesting statement by Yeshua when you think of it, because apparently, if you take the scriptures at face value, Yeshua didn't fast. What, not even on Yom Kippur? If Yeshua hadn't fasted on Yom Kippur, I guarantee you, when he stood before the court at the end of his life, they would have brought this up. Someone would have seen that he hadn't fasted. He fasted on Yom Kippur. Of course Yeshua fasted on Yom Kippur. He was a Jewish person. He fasted on Yom Kippur. What exactly are we going towards? Where do we kind of fit all of this in? What's apparently, was he not fasting? Well, of course we know. There's one level where it gets interesting. You know from this is on the prophet Zechariah. I'm just going to read this to you. Because there's something deeper going on. This is from the prophet Zechariah, and it's chapter 8. It's the bit that we all know, of course, I'm sure, but again, just linking it up with the whole concept of the fast here. The word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Yehuda. Therefore, love truth and peace." The minor fast days, the smaller fast days, it seems, by what we read in the scriptures, Yeshua didn't keep those smaller days. So of course, not fast on those days was not a sin. It wasn't a commandment to fast on those days. But it seems that Yeshua and his Talmudim were not keeping the traditions to fast on those smaller, shall we say, lesser important fast days. And it annoyed the people around. Why aren't you fasting? What is this all about? Yeshua's comment after is very interesting. The bridegroom is with you. When the bridegroom is taken away, you'll get back to fasting again. But the minute the bridegroom is with you, when the bridegroom is with you, then there's no need to fast. Why? Because with the bridegroom with you, as it says exactly there, these days shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Which is exactly what Yeshua was doing. And yet we weren't quite there, were we? Interestingly enough, we weren't quite there. Because he says, when the bridegroom is gone, you will go back again and start those fasts, smaller fasts, those on those lighter fast days that you've got there detailed. Not Yom Kippur, of course, everyone fasts on Yom Kippur, that goes without saying. It's a good example, really, of Yeshua saying, I'm living in the as if. Right now I am with you. And I'm living as if that final time has come when all these things will be lifted from your shoulders. You will not need to do these fast days because there will be times of great joy and feasting and cheer and everything else. They'll become wonderful days. The whole meaning turned on their head. The fullness of redemption and salvation has come. When the Messianic age arrives, the mourning is turned to joy, the pain removed. But this is indicative of this living in the as if thinking. Apparently, he's saying, right now, live as if, think ahead. Think of what the reality is going to be. While I'm here, it's a down payment, as it were, that there's more to come. The ultimate reality on all of this is through him, through Yeshua, the reality would come when joy would come instead of mourning. Live in the as if, but we're not quite there yet. We're living between cup 3 and cup 4. It's why Yeshua went on to talk about the renewing of Judaism that we read there with the wineskins metaphor, to make the point. the renewed form of Judaism that Yeshua was teaching, these things will pass. Instead, we will see a reformatted, reconstructed Judaism with Yeshua at the heart of it and his rule and his reign from Jerusalem, one of salvation and one of joy. And by the way, if you think this is just making it up, this is exactly what the rabbis have always taught us, the sages of old, even within other forms of Judaism, that the Messianic age would exactly be like this. But we are not quite there yet. And so we fast. We fast today because it's Yom Kippur. We fast on the other days also because it's a recognition we are living in the reality of Yeshua's presence, and yet his full reality, ruling and reigning in Jerusalem, is not yet here. The reality of his rule. And yet right now, globally, the world is still in rebellion. And so we know we are in the in-between times. And it's interesting when you see it this way. Reminding of this day as well for Kol Nidrei, in particular Daniel's prayer. It's a prayer that we've used in the past. Daniel's prayer is a powerful prophetic prayer. A prayer on behalf of his people by a man who was, as it were, smitten with the punishment and the judgment that came upon our nation. And even though he was a believer, he still suffered under this. And yet he was able in faith to pray on behalf of our nation and our people for salvation and deliverance, while he himself experienced that salvation and deliverance in his own spirit. Daniel knew the Lord. He was a man who was able to stand in the lion's den and worship and praise and come out alive the next morning. It was a man who knew what it was like to live in the in-between, still being chastened by the nations around him, knowing that personal salvation, deliverance, and yet knowing in his nation that the fullness of redemption had not yet come. And as we know for our nation, that fullness of redemption has not yet come. We are back in the land again. That is good. But we are not quite there yet. And there's one more final thought on all of this. A Hasidic Rebbe was once quizzed about his attitude towards fasting, even on Yom Kippur. This was a Hasidic Rebbe who would tell people that he's not fasting on the lower fast days. He was telling people that he was not fasting on Yom Kippur, and his followers, as you can imagine, were astonished because this Hasidic Rebbe led such a holy lifestyle that they were confounded by the fact this couldn't be if he wasn't fasting. So, of course, his Talmudim, his followers, go to him and say, Rebbe, 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 you're such a holy man. How is it that you're not fasting? How is it that you can be so holy and yet you say that you don't fast? And his response is quite interesting, and it speaks a lot to what we are and who we are, especially, I think, as Messianic Jews too. His comment quite simply was this, that he didn't fast because he was living in the alternative reality of the realized ideal. Let me unpack that for you. He was looking to the future. He was living in the realized ideal in the now, although he wasn't there yet, but he knew that this was coming his way. And then he explained what he meant. He said, I told you I didn't eat. He said, I'm not fasting. He says, but the two are not equal. Not eating, he says, does not equal fasting. Which gets even more confusing. And he explained it like this again. He said, if I fast, it's because I'm commanded not to eat. If I just don't eat, it's because I'm choosing to obey from my free choice and my free will. The message he wanted to put across to his followers is a powerful message. The future reality being what it is, as we know from the book of Revelation, and everything that is coming up, when everything is removed, we should not need to eat anyway at that point. We'd be so absorbed with God that all of these earthly things become shallow in the spiritual realm. It's not even a requirement. But what he was saying, something in all of this, was even more powerful than that. If we are commanded not to do something, then we are bound by our flesh, we are bound by something which needs to overcome our desire to eat. And he says, I want to live in the time when I will no longer need to be told not to eat. In fact, my whole nature will be transformed and changed, and so all I will ever want to do is to freely obey God. So I will choose to fast, even if I'm not commanded to, I will choose to fast. Or as he said, not to eat, because fasting, he said, was a commandment. In other words, he was saying he was living in the as if. The reality of the future, new creation. The reality when all will want to freely obey him. When there will be no need for commandments at all. Imagine it, there will be no need for commandments. Because we will all, by instinct, obey him. When perfection has arrived, when all are redeemed from the need for those controlling fences, if you like, of the Torah and the commandments, the direction of the mitzvot to guide us and to change us. When we are all perfected, no one will be told, no one will need to be told to fast, because when we're perfected, we just won't eat. We'll just know it anyway. We'll be perfect. It's an interesting little story from the Hasidic rabbi. But it's one that actually feeds into the very narrative of what Yom Kippur is for us. Yes, we fast today, and yet in some ways, you know what, we are also choosing not to eat. Yes, God has commanded us not to eat this day. But the future reality of it all is that I look forward to a time living in the as if. I'm looking forward to a time when there will no need to be fasting, because there will be perfection. When there will be no more sin. And we will all be set free to live in the as if. And yet we are reminded, because we are not quite there yet, that today we fast. But maybe we should, instead of just seeing it as a thing of being told not to eat this day, maybe we should see it as a thing of, Lord, I submit to you willingly. And I choose to obey you, to live in the future reality now, the future reality of that perfection which is coming our way. And so all will choose to obey God. Amen.